Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, today a conversation with Sean Pritchard, Executive Director of the United Community Action Network. First time I've seen you in person in a while. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, first of all, let's kind of talk our way through the past year with UCAN. Get real close to the microphone there and talk about maybe overall what the past year has been like for UCAN.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting just to frame up some context over, you know, the last year and a year before also, I guess. Some of the numbers are quite startling for UCAN. We've gone from a budget of $20 million to a budget of $40 million, and we've added over 100 employees to the organization. So as you might expect, that's put some strain on the organization, and all that's primarily because of the COVID relief dollars that were put in play. And the community action agencies across the state and really across the country were asked to be basically the social service emergency responders to this pandemic. And so what that's meant is increased funding for rental assistance, increased funding for energy assistance for people, and just stepping up pretty much in every program that we're involved in to bring more services to our residents.
So with that being tied to the pandemic for a big chunk of things, will that shift as we shift forward in terms of maybe getting smaller again?
Right. Yeah, that's a top consideration of an executive director is not to overbuild your systems because you start to affect people's lives and bringing them on for jobs and then letting them know they have to go. So we've done a lot here recently and spreading more work to existing employees, as much as I hate to say that, but we can't overbuild our system. So yes, there will be a contraction in funding at some point, and we're trying to plan that way.
Well, I'm sure it has been very challenging. I mean, challenging is like one of the most overused words of the last 2 years, but for what you're doing, and I think it is interesting as well, because you had just taken over not long before all of this COVID pandemic began.
Right. Yeah. I was here a month before this all started. So I was put in a position where I hadn't really learned the names of the people in my building, you know, the staff. And it was a bit of a shell shock, you know, deer in the headlights thing for me. But luckily we have strong leadership at UCAN, some well-seasoned program managers, and so that went a long way.
So let's kind of run through different categories of programs you work on. Housing obviously has been a big deal. Even without the pandemic, without the wildfires, you've got an area with a tight housing supply. Realtors tell me there's a month of inventory right now on the market. Normally you'd have 6 months. So there's not a lot of property out there, even with some building that has started going on in the past year. How's UCAN involved in helping people out?
Right. Well, on top of what you just mentioned there, you have to take in consideration that prices have gone up also for homes, 30%. I think I saw that the other day. So that's a factor as well. But we do have some housing here at UCAN. We have 80 units that we provide on our own. And then we try our best to work with our sister organizations, NeighborWorks, and our public housing authority to make sure that we can get folks housed. And it's an ongoing effort and something that we do focus on.
And of course, in construction, I'm not even sure what phases they're in right now. I haven't been by to look, but two or three apartment complexes in the area that will bring quite a few units to be out there.
Right. Right. Well, land use is a big part of this as well. And, you know, I know our local governments are working hard to try to, you know, modify regulations and working with developers to try to spark more interest in getting some housing starts here in Roseburg.
So what about for people that have a place to live during the pandemic? One of the issues has been paying your rent.
Right. Right. So that was that's probably the biggest program that we took on over the last year and a half was the rental assistance program to try to keep people, stable in their housing. And so we've administered over $12 million that has gone directly to landlords. So that was a very much needed program with the eviction moratoriums that were put into place.
And do you feel like there's any improvement there, or is this still kind of an issue for people?
Well, I it's still an issue. The third round came out here recently from the state for funding, part of their emergency session that they had. So we're still administering that program. Now, it's not as much as before, and so our hope is certainly that the program and the need will go away or lessen at some point here soon.
And this year, as we've watched some shifts in the economy and price structures, energy assistance, I imagine, over this past winter, now that we're getting close to spring, has been more of an issue, especially due to the rising costs of energy. I was informed what the bill was for my house the other day, and I was a bit in shock. I haven't picked up the bill for the other house that we own, and I'm almost afraid to.
That's why I let my wife pay the bills, Kyle, so I don't have to see that shock. But yeah, just like housing, I mean, energy costs have gone up about 30% as well, I believe. So we've noticed a big increase in our home energy assistance program on the number of folks that we have served. And I think we're up around 3,500 people that we had helped last year with their energy bills.
Wow. Now, that's a lot. And is that covering, maybe we should frame this for folks, is that covering just in Douglas County, or is that in the rest of your area?
It would be Douglas and Josephine where we administer that program.
And that was a shift a number of years ago when Josephine County got added in. People don't always remember that indeed even
right.
took place, because UCAN went from being UCAN to being UCAN.
Well, yeah, so that was before my time,
right.
but it used to be UMPQA instead of United.
Right.
So once we married up Josephine County, we changed to United.
And you've got offices down there too as well, right?
Right, right. We have offices in Grants Pass, and then of course we have several sites here in Douglas County for Head Start. And on top of that, we've helped Curry and Coos with rental assistance over the last year. And then we also have programs in Klamath and Lake Counties, which are related to our Healthy Families programs, some of those visiting programs for youngsters.
So did those get added on because you already have the framework to be able to do what you're doing, and maybe there weren't agencies in those counties quite ready to do it?
Yeah, due to different circumstances, there were voids, and we came in and filled the voids.
Now, the homeless issue around America obviously is happening everywhere. Douglas County, not immune, certainly. What are you involved with that?
Well, you know, we have a number of programs that we try to help the homeless folks out. Many of them come with expectations of case management. So we help people with sheltering. As I said before, we help people with placement into the public housing and some of NeighborWorks programs. And we try to make, we have programs that help with things like deposits for people to bring more of a comfort level to landlords with bringing people in. So.
And we'll talk more about the homeless aspects in the next segment. In fact, let's do our break right now and come back with more. Sean Pritchard, Executive Director of the United Community Action Network on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio, 1240 KQEN, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt. Tomorrow, Democratic candidate for Congress, Val Hoyle, will be on Inside Douglas County. And just a heads up for Friday, Umpqua Valley Live, just getting confirmation that our special music guest Friday will be blues legend Curtis Salgado. He's going to be on the program with us via phone on Friday, so looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that over Thursday and Friday morning. Sean Pritchard with us now, Executive Director of the United Community Action Network. We were just starting to talk about the homeless situation a bit. Tied into that is your work with some of the other agencies. A temporary shelter was opened, actually right across the street our building. Yeah. Talk about how that all evolved.
Well, yeah, so some context, you know, when the pandemic came around, we were put in a position where it was, we couldn't really do the congregate sheltering the first year, so we basically provided supplies for people to stay in place. And then with the following year, with the vaccine and some of the other, what we learned about COVID, we again tried to go out and find space. And fortunately, ADAPT stepped up to provide the space across the street for a warming center. And we worked with the city to bring in other partners. And we spent about 6 days over there at the shelter and then handed that operation off to Onward Roseburg. It was, you know, they've recently had some warming center days over there as well. So it was a big team lift to get that done. It wasn't just UCAN, many organizations.
And as well, a decision to sell a building you have over on Mill Street, which the city plans to use as a navigation center. What went into that decision to sell that building?
Well, UCAN had already, we were running programs out of there for the homeless, and we saw it as an opportunity. I know the city had struggled a bit to find property to put something like that in, and it seemed to make sense for UCAN to aid the city and also further our mission in helping the homeless.
So what about healthcare? How have you been able to help folks during the pandemic and even other situations?
Well, the Oregon Health Authority had a program in which agencies could go out and help people that were quarantined. And so we took part of that in Josephine County and helped around 600 individuals with their basic needs and providing things like groceries and items like that. So that was a big lift on our part of our staff down in Josephine County.
And you mentioned Head Start. It seems like there's more and more of an emphasis on that and on getting kids involved in learning earlier on and providing help for their parents who maybe don't have the background and maybe some of the things they should even be doing based on their own background.
Well, right. Well, we helped 600 kids last year with some of those services and being in the Head Start program. You know, health screenings and parent coaching. And it's a free program. And I'd love to expand that out into more areas into Douglas County, because that's really part of the labor shortage that we are experiencing are those parents that had to go home at the start of the pandemic and haven't been able to return because they can't find child care. And so we need to do a better job of that as locally and as a nation, I believe. And we're looking to expand a program for Head Start or preschool up in Glide next fall. So we are working on that.
Well, and of course, you've got a facility just a few years old on the nonprofit campus. But one of the realities, I would imagine, is for some of the folks that you're helping with Head Start, is it only is so useful unless it's reasonably close to where they are.
Right. And we do have satellite offices in Winston and Winchester and other communities, but Glide is definitely a childcare desert that we want to address. And, you know, it makes no sense for kids to be coming in from Glide to our nonprofit campus up there and then parents turning around and going up back to work in Glide. So we want to address that.
Yeah, not only do you have the time, but you've got the gas and all of the and scheduling logistics to make all that work. So yeah, I'm sure that's a lot to do. How's that Head Start facility working on the nonprofit campus though? That was a big change, big improvement.
Yeah, it has been. You know, I don't have a whole lot of context for that, but it's a nice new facility, well-maintained, and with nice playgrounds, and everyone seems happy.
So as you look into 2022, you talked about some of the things that might take place. What are other ideas you have for the future?
Well, first of all, we want to take a big breath, I think, at some point here with doubling our budget and becoming such an emergency response organization for the state. You know, so basically recalibrating, getting some strategic planning into place, wrapping our arms around some issues like facilities and what we're going to do with some of our residential developments. So it's just a time that this next year, I want to sit down and reflect with our board and with our staff and the community at large and talk about where we want to take UConn in the future.
I would imagine in some ways, given the past 24 months, you'd almost like to just all take 2 weeks off and rest, but that's not the reality.
Well, there may be a day here or two where there's some fishing involved or some fun activities, I'd say. I think we've all earned that.
What about other new things that could be out there? Now, there was something in your release recently about a baby bounty program, which initially seemed like an odd name for me until I read what it was about.
Right. So that's a program that's tied to our Healthy Families program, where we go in and provide some coaching for parents, and we're, you know, providing some supplies like free diapers and wipes and other safety items to families. And, you know, that was another program that was greatly impacted. Normally we'd be actually in the homes helping coach, and we had to meet folks out on their front doorstep, on their porches to do that work. So a lot of modifications have gone into place here in the last 2 years, and we look forward to getting back to some normalcy here.
Now, how many staff did you say you have right now?
We're at 225 staff right now. So, and that's about 100-person increase over the last 2 years. Some of that's been through attrition and rehires, but...
So that does make a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. It's put a strain, like I said, on the agency. But I can tell you my staff's met every challenge, every new program that's been rolled out, every new situation, every change in COVID, regulations. And, it's interesting because, we have a lot of different professions. We have nurses, we have teachers, and a lot of that, you know, was specific when it came to COVID regulations. We had to modify based on actual programs. So it's been a bit of a patchwork of trying to comply with all of these conditions and regulations.
And just the nature of a pandemic, I'm told things just shift, as we've seen. And so about the time you get one form figured out for a new way to do it, you might be changing it again.
Right. So we've come into play. Our practice now is to wait 30 days for the next change to come before we do something. That's essentially how it's gone, hasn't it?
Might not be a bad idea. No. You've got a board of directors. Talk about their role.
Right. So we have a tripartite board, it's called, comprised of low-income folks that have utilized our services, the private sector, and then government representatives. So it's a good reflection from the community, and we meet, you know, monthly. They are responsible for, some development and guidance on the strategic plan. And so, you know, they're a good group of folks, and over they comprise the two counties and interested. And this is one of those boards that, you know, they're on many boards, but this is one of those boards that they feel, you know, good about being on because of the direct role in which we help people.
So is your board, so it's people from both counties, right?
Right.
So I suppose now you're doing a lot of meetings on Zoom, but do you ever meet in one location or?
We do. We try to rotate it in between Roseburg and Grants Pass. Last 2 years, it's been difficult to do that, but we're getting back to kind of a hybrid situation now with some in-person folks showing up and others on Zoom. And I think that's how it's going to be for a lot of boards going forward.
Seems like I've been hearing that a lot lately in some of our interview segments. Well, out of time for now, but there's kind of an update on what's going on with the United Community Action Network. Sean Pritchard, the executive director, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.